Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And by the way, we're making a time capsule, a post-New York City mayoral election time capsule. Give us your predictions on our website. What will be different 4 years from now in New York City as a result of Bill de Blasio's term? Let's make a time capsule. Give us your predictions. What will be different 4 years from now in New York City as a result of Bill de Blasio's term? You can do this online. Post your predictions for the time capsule anytime today, and we will bury it on the internet, not to be touched until we open it back up in 2017. Just go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show to contribute to our de Blasio term time capsule. And now that Election Day is over, many New Yorkers may be wondering what Mayor Bloomberg will set his sights on next. And believe it or not, we may be getting a preview in Mexico, where Mayor Bloomberg's foundation has gotten involved in a political battle over soda and junk food. Mexico's Congress recently approved a set of taxes on soda and junk food, which have earned the name the Bloomberg tax. Bloomberg Philanthropies has already invested $10 million in Mexico to be used in anti-obesity advertising campaigns, public health research, nutrition labeling implementation, and political action like these taxes that now bear his name. New York Times correspondent Elizabeth Malkin joins us now from Mexico City to talk about the taxes and what they may say about Mayor Bloomberg's goals for after he leaves City Hall. Elizabeth, hello from New York. Thank you very much for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
So what exactly are these taxes?
Well, there has been considerable concern in Mexico for a number of years about the growing rate of obesity. It's increased very sharply and is now the same or more even than the rate of obesity and overweight in the U.S. And these taxes were proposed by the government in their latest budget and approved by Congress. In fact, Congress even upped the ante and added the junk food tax. Initially, the government had proposed a tax on the volume of soft drinks and sweetened drinks of about 7 or 8 cents per liter. And then Congress added an 8% tax on junk food, which is defined by the quantity of calories per 100 grams. Now, you know, nobody is pretending here that this is the answer to Mexico's obesity problem. But what it did do was it created a lot of noise and got people talking about the issue. And it's on the table, you know, it's sort of front and center on the table. How, you know, what are the most effective ways to attack obesity? A few years ago, the government began to limit the sales of soda and junk food in schools. And they met quite a lot of resistance from the soft drink and food industry. So it's no surprise that this time around there was also a lot of opposition as this was being debated in Congress.
Sounds like these are policies to make Mayor Bloomberg's unclogged arteries go pitter-pat, if they are unclogged. But do they deserve the moniker, the Bloomberg tax? Because what you just described was Congress doing this on its own in Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bloomberg, you know, I in fact didn't know that Bloomberg Philanthropies was involved in Mexico until this debate began. But the Bloomberg Philanthropies has been involved in Mexico on a number of issues, public health issues, including tobacco and traffic safety, which are issues that it works on around the world, not just in the U.S. and not just in Mexico. And at the same time, Mexico's National Institute of Public Health, which is the research arm here of the of the health ministry had been doing a number of studies and forecasts and cost estimates of what the obesity problem was going to, how it was going to weigh, sorry, forgive the pun, but how it was going to weigh on public finances here. Mexico does have a public health system. It's a creaky system. They're trying to improve it. And as they look ahead, it's going to put a dreadful burden on the government in terms of paying for these to treat the illnesses caused by obesity. So this is something that's been on the agenda here in Mexico for a long time. The Bloomberg tax was a very good way to attack the proposal, mm-hmm. and there's no question that the funding by the philanthropy of public organized both the health institute and the civic groups that have been working on these issues really sort of allowed them to have a much louder voice than they'd ever had before.
By the way, Mexican Coke is considered a delicacy, I understand, among some American soda aficionados because it's sweetened with cane sugar instead of high fructose corn syrup. And
Not all of it.
Some of it.
No. In fact, I was investigating that when I wrote the story. It varies depending on price from year to year. And
I see.
Right now it's about half and half.
Well, I read that because of this tax, Coca-Cola is going to switch to all or much more high fructose corn syrup as opposed to cane sugar, again, as a result. Is that your understanding? And do people, talk about a difference, notice a difference?
No, not really. It was never the issue here.
It's not a thing?
No.
Mexican novelist David Toscana wrote in a New York Times opinion piece yesterday that you probably saw, soft drinks, while not exactly nutritious, are at least usually free of germs, which is the other reason that a lot of Mexicans drink Coke, I am told, because, some of the drinking water is contaminated. Is that true? And if so, why don't they just drink bottled water?
I think it was true a long time ago, but in the same convenience stores where everybody buys Coke, there are now a number of bottled water brands, and the makers of those brands are Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, Nestle, and
right.
so on.
But they're still water.
So, yes, those are available, but in some presentations, it's in fact cheaper to buy Coke than it is to buy bottled water. In the very large returnable bottle presentations, Coke is cheaper.
It makes sense that water would be cheaper. They have to take all that carbonation out. I'm just kidding. but last thing, you report that the Mayor's Foundation, Bloomberg Philanthropies, has called its work in Mexico a pilot project. Does it intend to apply the same strategies that it's using in Mexico to other parts of the world?
I think they are definitely looking to see how this all plays out. Obviously, no other country has a tax like this yet. I mean, there are taxes, there are smaller taxes, there are different kinds of taxes. But this is kind of a, an experiment. And so everybody's going to be looking at this to see where it goes. And other countries that are concerned about the rising rate of obesity, which is a worldwide epidemic, may be keeping a close eye and obviously along with the philanthropy.
And why did Bloomberg Philanthropies choose Mexico as its first place of action if this is a pilot? Do you know?
Well, they've been working in Mexico, as I said, for a number of years on other public health issues, including tobacco and traffic safety. Mexico's National Institute of Public Health is really top class, so they're working with very good researchers there. And so there was already an established relationship on other issues.
And as David Cascana put it in the Times yesterday, by various measures, Mexico is either the world's fattest country or second fattest, a reason to try it there. But if it's the second fattest country, it's second to the United States. So a little bit of context for folks and maybe a lesson to be learned here from what happens there, lesson of one kind or another. We will see. Elizabeth Malkin, live from Mexico City, New York Times correspondent. Thanks for filling us in on the beginning of the post-mayoral world for Michael Bloomberg.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.